Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Amen. So today we're celebrating the greatest day in history. The greatest day in history, Resurrection Sunday. And Easter represents the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament and a revelation of God's salvation plan for all of mankind. Not just some, but all of mankind. We celebrate the defeat of death and the hope of salvation. Yeah. We celebrate the defeat of death and the hope of salvation today. And Arsene Wenger, that famous Arsenal manager at one time, said these words. He said, Christmas is significant, but Easter is decisive. Christmas is significant, but Easter is decisive. And he was talking about football, but how little did he realise how correct he was, that Christmas is significant. Without Easter, there'd be no Christmas. But today, though, this morning, I don't want to talk about the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. The evidence for the resurrection is overwhelming. It is all over the place if you would just have a look and investigate it for yourself. And there's a real famous story of the atheist Lee Strobel, who he served as a legal affairs editor for the Chicago Tribune, and he graduated from Yale Law School, But his wife Leslie, one Sunday she went to church and she met Jesus, and she gave her life to Jesus. And to win his wife back to this kind of blissful state of unbelief, Strobel went on this quest to investigate and use his journalistic skills to debunk Christianity once and for all. Because he was thinking, no resurrection, no Christianity. No resurrection, no Christianity. But when he intensely studied the actual evidence, he reluctantly became convinced that the claims of the life ministry and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are indeed true. And he went on to write a book about his spiritual quest called The Case for Christ. And I would encourage you to read that book. It sold millions of copies. The resurrection happened. It is a fact. It is a fact that happened in history. Instead, I don't want to talk about whether it happened or not, because I want to talk about today whether it matters. Because it happened 2,000 years ago. People ask how such a remote event that happened in an ancient time can possibly have any significance for us today in the 21st century. Why on earth do Christians make such a song and dance about the resurrection? Isn't that relevant? Does it really matter? But today I want to show you the relevance of the resurrection of Jesus, the up-to-the-day, up-to-the-minute relevance of the resurrection. See, the resurrection somehow resonates with our human condition. It speaks to our needs like no other. Like no other thing that ever happened in our life. It just speaks, or even could happen to speak to us. The early Christians were really convinced of this. They knew that not only had it taken place, but that it was an event of enormous importance, enormous significance. So central was the resurrection to their message that Luke in the book of Acts describes Peter and John as preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And it was the same with Paul when he began speaking with the philosophers in Athens at the end of Acts 17. What did they do? They started to be extremely rude to him. And the reason for this ridicule that came out was that he preached to them about Jesus and the resurrection. And when the time came for Paul to summarize his message, he wrote these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verse 4. It says, "For what I have received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." See, the resurrection of Jesus is at the very center, the very heart and core of the Christian good news. But I think it's important that firstly we need to define exactly what the resurrection is. It's important to be clear exactly what we are talking about. See, we're not just talking about Jesus' survival. And as a result of which we could say, well, he's alive or he's living. No, we could say that about anybody who has ever lived and died. See, there's a real good story when the president, the first president of Cyprus died, a guy called Mercurius, and he died in 1977. And after he died, his followers spray-painted on the buildings in Cyprus these words, "Mercurius lives," but he was dead. But Mercurius lives. He hasn't risen from the dead, but his influence was still living. His influence was still living. And Billy Graham said one before he died, "Someday you'll read in the papers that Billy Graham is dead." Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am today. And Billy Graham was not talking about being resurrected. He simply meant that he would survive death. And then you think about Steve Jobs of Apple fame. He is well and truly dead, but his legacy still lives on. Everybody's got an Apple product in their pocket. His legacy still lives on. So the resurrection of Jesus is not just about the survival of Jesus. And secondly, the resurrection of Jesus is not just his resuscitation. It doesn't mean that having died, he came back to life again, only to then die one more time. C.S. Lewis expressed his great sympathy for Lazarus, who was resuscitated by Jesus and was brought back to life. He said it was really hard on Lazarus because he had to go and do his dying all over again. But Jesus didn't. We're not talking about his survival nor his resuscitation, but about his resurrection. God performed a dramatic act which he apprehended the process of decay, decomposition, and corruption. He rescued Jesus out of the realm of death and transformed his body into a new vehicle for his personality so that he had a new power and was now immortal, never ever to die again. And that is something new that's never happened before and has never happened since. But what does it mean for us today, this Easter Sunday? What does it mean for us today, Sunday the 17th of April, 2022, here in a church in Larbert? Well, turn with me in your Bibles, if you've got one handy, to John chapter 11. I'm going to read through 10 verses from verse 17 through to verse 27, and the words should be up on the screen. And before we start reading, just let me give you a little bit of a background. So here we see that Lazarus, Jesus' good friend, is sick. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, had sent a message to Jesus, asked him to come quickly. But what did Jesus do? He waited a whole 2 days before going to Lazarus. And by the time he arrived there, Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days. And as you can expect, Mary and Martha are mad at Jesus. And then there's this interesting conversation that takes place between Martha and Jesus, and that's where I want to pick it up in verse 17. It says, "On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Amen. And I want to talk about this morning the power of the resurrection and what it's done for us. Sometimes we overlook the obvious and find ourselves looking for a four-leaf clover in the grass. And when we're looking for that four-leaf clover, we totally overlook all the other flowers that show us God's power all around us. We look beyond it sometimes and it escapes us. It escapes us. One of the reasons that we are so defeated and combated in life is not so much by the enemy, but by the turmoil we see all around us. Now, sometimes Satan is responsible for all of that, but other times it's down to us. Why? Because we don't call in that power of the resurrection. And I want to tell you about the power of Jesus' resurrection today. Jesus said in John 11, 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you understand that it's the power of Jesus' resurrection at work that makes you a Christian today? It's the only reason that we are able to be a Christian. It's the power of the resurrection that gives us the faith to call upon the name of Jesus. It's the power of the resurrection that has Satan under our feet. But it's not the other way around. Too many of us live as if we are under Satan's feet, that he has somehow control over us. But it's the opposite way. We have control over him. He is under our feet by the power of the resurrection. It's the power of the resurrection that gives you and I the power for acts of service and to be empowered witnesses for the gospel. It's the power of the resurrection that's just as powerful now as it was then when Jesus died and rose again. What the resurrection has given you and I is more than just faith. It's more than just eternal life. And I think sometimes we overlook so many of the benefits of the resurrection. So many benefits of the Holy Spirit and of the resurrection that Jesus has won for us, that we simply look at eternal life as being the goal. We simply look at Resurrection Sunday. We simply look at the saints being raised up on a cloud with the believers. We simply look at all these things, but we don't realize that God said that he has given you power over the power of Satan. Do you understand that today? He has given you the same resurrection power that Jesus exercised when he got up from the grave. The same power that you and I have today. It's the same power that raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. It's the same power that called out demons. It's the same power that healed the lepers. It's the same power, and let me tell you, that power will never ever lose its power. Never. You have the power to use the words of God to bring life, and you have the power to use the words of God to bring death. Yes. Jesus, as we see him in Genesis chapter 1, it says, and God said, let there be light. He used the word to bring light into the world. Then we see him over in the book of Matthew where he uses another word to curse and bring death to a fig tree. You see, life and death are in the power of the tongue. This is the same resurrection power that Jesus got up with, and he gave his power to you and I. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, or your home, and all Judea, your family, and all Samaria, your town, and to the ends of the earth. But you see, sometimes we just don't get it. We're only looking at the resurrection as far as we can see it with our physical eyes. The resurrection is right now. He told Martha in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection. And I want to tell you today that that power of the resurrection of Jesus is alive and well today. It's alive and well today. It has a quickening truth within us. It has a power that only you and I are able to operate in when we are obedient to his word. Let me tell you today, Found Church, you are not defeated Christians. You are not defeated Christians. See, when the power of the resurrection is not alive for you and it's not able to move at your command, sometimes it's because there are forces of principalities in the dark places coming up against you. But I think we heard this conversation before. This is what Jesus was telling Martha when she said in verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection. And I can just picture seeing Jesus looking at her and shaking his head saying, you just don't get it. You just don't get it, Martha. I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the rock of ages. I am the bread of life. I am the bridge over troubled waters. I am the good shepherd. I am the doctor that can heal your body. I am the lawyer that's never lost a case. I am that I am. I am. But I can still hear you saying, sitting here in this room, but I went to the doctor and I got a diagnosis, and now I'm scared. I'm losing my job, and I'm worried. I've got all these financial issues. Stephen, have you seen the state of the world? Have you seen the prices rising up? I'm scared. I'm worried. My children are playing up. I don't know what to do with them. I don't know how to control them. I'm worried. Whatever it is, Stephen, I'm worried. I would just say, you see, you still don't get it. The resurrection power is here right now. It starts when you begin to speak the words of the Almighty God and say that the victory is already mine. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of your future. He does not have one. He does not have one. When he tells you that you are useless and you will never amount to much, remind him that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. When he reminds you of your past, just remind him that you are a new creation and that God has great plans and purposes for you. When he tells you that you're not good enough, remind them that Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. Your power, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's why you have power over Satan. You can use your words to bring life to the situation. This is why we can say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Although they might form, they won't hurt us. They won't hurt us. See, the word prosper in the text means it has no defeating power over you. Do you want to be washed in the resurrection power today?
Yes.
Let's try that line. Do you want to be washed in the resurrection power today?
Yes.
I do. Do you want to see Jesus like Martha should have seen him? Right before our face is the power of the resurrection. The resurrection power is right here, and it's right now. If you want to be healed today, it's here. If you want to be delivered today, it's here. If you want to be set free today, it's here. The power of the resurrection is here right now. Whatever it is that you need, the power is here right now. God is still saying to you, the earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So many people are seeking God's power in the same way as a thing or a force that can be used for their own needs and wants. But there's a serious problem when we have that sort of thinking. The power of the resurrection isn't a thing or a force. It's the love of Jesus. It was love that sent Jesus into the world. It was love. That's why he died on the cross. It was love. That's why he died for you and for me. It was love that exploded Jesus out of that tomb. It was love that healed the blind. It was love that raised the dead. It was love that gave you and I another chance to get it right before God. In that most famous of Bible verses, John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, God loved us so much that he sent his Son, his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and for me. It's his love that holds the whole universe together and will remain when everything else passes away. See, it's easier for many people today to understand the power of the resurrection as some sort of physical might or an explosive force such as dynamite. And many people want that kind of power in their lives today because they want to overcome all the problems that they're facing. They want the power just to blow all away, all those things that trouble them. See, loving is the hardest task of all. And you can't do it by yourself. In fact, you can't even love God by yourself. You have to ask Jesus to forgive you, to love him back. And of all the 613 laws of the Old Testament, Jesus narrowed them down to just two. When the Pharisees asked Jesus in Matthew 22, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied in verse 38, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. See, it's easy for us in the natural realm to understand the difference between right and wrong when it's clearly marked before our face, such as a traffic light or a stop sign. We drive down the street and the traffic light is at red, so we stop because it says stop. When your teacher tells you to stop talking, that there's no talking during class time, then you don't talk. That's the theory, anyway. Why? Because that's the rules. These are things that are clearly defined. But when God says to us we are supposed to love him with all our heart, mind, and soul, sometimes we have a problem with that because we don't have a clear, defined sign or a set of rules right in front of us. And then Jesus gave the second law. In verse 39, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. See, Jesus is saying that loving your neighbor as yourself is the same as loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Now comes the real test, though. How are we supposed to love our neighbours when we can't even love ourselves? Some of us live in defeat. Some of us may even hate ourselves. We hate what we see in the mirror. We hate the things that we do each and every single day. Some of us don't want to deal with the real problems that are inside of us because we can't handle the reality of who we are or who is to blame. Some of us are just miserable, and we see ourselves as useless. You can't love your neighbor if you don't know how to love yourself. But I want you to know this morning that there's hope. Hope that you can love yourself, and you can love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you can even love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But I can hear you. I can hear those unsaid voices that are saying, Stephen, How are we going to do that? And I'm glad that you asked that question. How do you do it? By giving up and giving it to Jesus. Jesus, the bright morning star. Jesus, the great I am. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Jesus, the Rock of ages. Jesus, the one who was, who is, and forever will be. Know him today in the power of the resurrection. As the band come, see, I want to tell you today that there's hope in the power of the resurrection. Yeah. See, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. There's love in the power of the resurrection. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There's joy in the power of the resurrection. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away from me. Jesus gave me it. Jesus gave me that joy, and the world, the enemy, the devil cannot take it away from me. There's deliverance in the power of the resurrection. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let me tell you, there's freedom in the power of the resurrection. There's freedom in the power of the resurrection. Whom the Son set free is free. And
thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.